Hey, what's going on, everybody? You're listening to Saggy Station. This man has a nickname, always allowed to say with no shame. Monday, February 8th, 2021. Hope all is well out there, everybody. Hope everyone's doing better than I am today. Hope everyone's staying safe. Nick Seigelin here. You're listening to Saggy Station Podcast. Obviously, a lot to get into today. After Super Bowl Sunday yesterday, Tom Brady winning his 7th ring in his 10th Super Bowl appearance. A lot to discuss in the forefront of that. With the NFL now concluding, really got to get into a bunch of the NBA with my guy Rich Hot Takes Letty, who's coming through to discuss a little bit of the Super Bowl and NBA with me today. Looking forward to doing that, easing a little bit of the pain for me. It's definitely been tough, and seeing Tom Brady win last night and the way he won last night and just the way the game kind of played out, tough guys. Tough day for guys like me. Great day for guys like Skip Bayless and all the Tom Brady lovers. But I do have some stuff to say about the game that I do find particularly interesting. We'll be definitely curious to see what my friends have to say about it, but they're definitely going to get their bashes in on me, and I certainly deserve it with what Tom Brady did. You got to give the man credit for sure. Right now, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Seggy Straight Talk Microphone. It's always direct. Time to reflect. Just real quick, appreciate all love and support shown for the podcast. Got out on Spotify, Anchor, Google Podcasts, Breaker, Pocket Cast, Radio Public. Been doing a lot of trying to get it out solo just on the Twitch with all the work that I put into posting the podcast out there. And I'm still looking forward to trying to do that when I'm doing my solo. It will be Twitch only, which will be on my Twitch stream. It's _Seggy_G. Please check that out. Please give that a follow along with my Instagram page and Twitter page at Seggy Station. All the love and support is always appreciated. Just really looking forward to trying to talk some more sports, do it a little bit differently. The setup that I got currently probably won't work with Jay really helping me out, so I'm probably going to have to do a 180 in that regard and try and switch it up. Get into trying to figure out, I got a new camera coming, maybe doing it through my, streaming through my PS5, hopefully get a better connection there. But trying to get the podcast to a different level with doing it basically with my friends only, getting more people coming on, and those are the ones that I'll post. If you want any of my solo sports takes, I'll be doing them on my Twitch. And just wanted to let everyone know that's been following along to continue to do so if you want to. You got a Twitch app. Basically, you can get it anywhere on your phone, I believe. And then we can kind of continue to go through some sports takes. I'll probably be dropping some games. And I'll still be doing the pod. I'll still be getting some friends and hopefully newcomers on the pod to talk some sports. These next few weeks of people coming on the pod will certainly be them bashing me after basically Tom Brady ruined my entire podcast and the takes I've had on my podcast with going out and winning his 7th ring. You know, he's 21-29, 201 yards, 3 touchdowns, no turnovers, no blemishes. And the man wins a game in which clearly the Tampa Bay Bucs were the better team. They played better on all facets of the ball. Special teams, obviously the punter was messing up for the Chiefs, multiple penalties. And then defense, obviously for the Bucs, and offense played better than the Chiefs that didn't score a touchdown in this game. Something you wouldn't expect watching it. So you got to give them credit, certainly for winning this game, certainly for getting his 7th ring, and obviously probably closing the door on being the greatest football player of all time. There's so many debates and conversations to be had in that regard. Particularly in football, I think it's hard to say he's not the greatest of all time, but he's launched himself into a category where he could be the greatest professional sports player of all time. And I think that goes a little bit too far, and I think to see what he's done in football is tremendous, and to see what he's doing at the age of 43 and probably going to continue to do it. I'm not so sure he makes it back to the Super Bowl, but that's a lot of people are favoring the Tampa Bay Bucs to do so. It'll be interesting to see where this all plays out. If he does get back again, you know, you think you're saying and seeing the greatest of all time in real time, which I was never really able to do so until now. So I do appreciate it for sure. Rich is here. I do appreciate the fact that Tom Brady, you know, won the game and won his seventh ring and does so in pretty dominant fashion. I mean, he destroyed the Chiefs and Pat Mahomes didn't have a chance. But I do need to say a few things about this. And now that Rich is here, we'll hopefully get into this. And then I got a few quick time bells to go through with Rich before we get into some NBA. Rich, obviously reviewing the Super Bowl and obviously a lot happening with that. And I pretty much just gave Tom Brady the credit he deserves. Obviously won something I didn't expect him to do. And, you know, it is incredible. I think he is probably the greatest football player of all time. You know, I look, it's hard for me to, like I said, put any of these other guys into perspective because I wasn't really able to see them. And I think that's one of the things that I've learned now just watching last night, as basically it's just a nightmare for me to watch this. You know, the guy wins seven rings. He's been to the Super Bowl half of the time he's been in the league, and he's been in the league for 20-plus years. I mean, he's won a Super Bowl in three different decades. All the stuff and all the accolades he puts up are incredible, and I do believe that's why we call him the GOAT. To compare him to the GOAT of all professional athletes, to me, that goes too far, and that's where, like, I'm hearing a lot of that now, and that's where I still get frustrated. And then also, Rich, and I do want to get this in before you comment anything on this Super Bowl, I do feel like I deserve a little bit of credit in regard to not only that entire run in the playoffs, but in the Super Bowl, particularly in the Super Bowl. When you're 9-1 in penalties in the first half, 95 yards for the Chiefs, which is the most in the Super Bowl first half ever, when you don't turn it over, and obviously I'm not saying the game's fixed or the refs fixed the game, but I think that played a huge role in that first half. And the defense obviously played a huge part in them winning that game when Tom Brady only throwing for 201 yards, not turning the ball over, like I just said, but not really doing anything spectacular, relying on the running game and doing things in which he's won Super Bowls like this a few times. And you know, it kind of just leads into my whole thing where I'm not saying what he did wasn't great, but they won that game because of their defense, because of the incredible coaching of Todd Bowles and Brian Leftwich, three black coordinators, a black assistant, two females. I mean, one of the most diverse coaching staff in the NFL, where that's constantly getting crapped on all the time. But that was because of the defense, the rushing, not because of him going out there and absolutely just flaming out. I mean, he had a good enough game. He missed a lot of throws early, in my opinion. And I don't know, I'm just watching that game and it's just boring to me. Like, because I'm just like, yep, defense rushing. Like, Mahomes can't do anything because he can't get protected. And it was kind of a boring Super Bowl. And it was pretty much, in my opinion, over by halftime. I'm watching the halftime show and that was wild. And it was a wrap for me. I had to sit there in my sorrows by myself and just go, damn, Tom Brady just probably won another Super Bowl. I will say this, though. As a Giants fan, it does make the two we got a little bit sweeter, more impressive, and the one by Nick Foles even more impressive. Go ahead.
Yeah, it was a little disappointing, I guess. Obviously, you want it to be a little closer. There's so many things to go into. So, I know we'll get into some of it. I thought he played a good game. I've been on the same page the whole time with this. Like when we start the years and year and you're arguing the GOAT thing, you're arguing Tom Brady, it seems like a lot of what you're arguing isn't necessarily what I was saying. It was like what people on ESPN were saying, and that, like, oh, he's still like one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Like, he goes on any team, he brings them to the Super Bowl. I mean, hey, they might have been right about that. He went to one team, granted a stacked team, brought him to the Super Bowl. They got a Super Bowl. But I think the thing with Tom Brady is he did what he had to do to win, and that's what a lot of people have been saying about him the last few years. And it's like, I'd never knock him for that. Like, he didn't go out there and, like, I mean, Tom Brady played the better game to Mahomes, but, like, you see Mahomes out there, and it's like, sometimes I feel like he gets a little bit overhyped since he's getting hyped on these throws, but they were some incredible throws. I was saying it, too, watching Mahomes. Like, Mahomes is getting, like, beat up out there and literally just trying, like, they're missing a few offensive tackles. Mahomes is just getting rushed every time. It's 2 seconds into every single play, and Mahomes is just getting rushed and, like, trying to huck some crazy passes out there. So, like, Tom Brady's not that, like, Super Bowl, or excuse me, like, regular season MVP. Like, let me throw the team on my back. Let me go out there and, like, you know, I'll just carry the whole offense. Like, no, you're right. The defense plays a big part. The run game plays a big part. But, like, to me, this isn't disagreeing with anything you said at all. But from my point of view, just I feel like he had to do what he had to do to get the win there, which has kind of been the theme for him. You could say over the course of his career, or at least over the course of like the last three Super Bowls, just doing what you have to do, the team playing a really good game. And that's what it was at the end of the day. Not an exciting game at all. Probably one of the least exciting Super Bowls besides that, you know, Broncos blowout when we were in college. It was probably the worst one I've ever watched. But no, yeah, it wasn't that exciting, but good overall game. Definitely some talking points.
You know, the thing that bothers me is people say this is the exact same team that the Bucs had last year. I mind you, all 31 points scored in that Super Bowl were scored by players that weren't on that roster last year. Gronk has 6 receptions, 67 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Joining Jerry Rice is the only to get multiple Super Bowls, multiple touchdowns, and multiple Super Bowls. Brady has a good enough game, like you mentioned, to win the game. But don't sit here and tell me that the defense didn't contribute to winning that game and their entire run to get to the Super Bowl.
I said they did contribute.
And the running game last night was literally going off the charts with the entire Lenny, you know, playoff Lenny. And now, you know, Chewy talking about him going to be getting a contract and being the next best thing in the league again. Bro, I'm just not seeing that. They got on a hot run because they're trying to do it and obviously win for the first time as a franchise. I mind you, that is the worst in all professional sports in terms of winning percentage, in terms of the history of sports. So, like, this team has really only once, I think, won one Super Bowl back in 2003 or whatever it was.
Yep.
So there's a lot riding on it for the Bucs, not as much for the Chiefs. Obviously, Mahomes wasn't able to be protected, but I think that some of the throws you're talking about are some of the reasons why some people don't have Tom Brady as his GOAT, or as the GOAT, because you don't see him out there making those type of plays. And when they are having to ask him to extend plays, he's going down like a sack of bricks. Stop, drop, and roll. So, like, I've just watched Tom Brady my entire, and I'm not even saying this year. He's been like that his entire career. And maybe that's due to the longevity for him to be able to play as long. Yeah, I mean, there's all these things that go into it. But I do think that there's some things that come out of last night's game where my take is pretty similar to, it's just like, all right, he won another Super Bowl on the back of his defense and running game and not turn the ball over in the Super Bowl. He turned the ball over a bunch, obviously, in that Packers game. And it's just my whole point with this whole thing. We're not going to remember this entire run of Tom Brady and him winning the Super Bowl. We're just going to remember that he won the Super Bowl and got his 5th Super Bowl MVP. More accolades. Like, we're not going to remember the entire run, and that's my whole point. That's the only thing with me, man. And that's why I get pissed off.
I think that's almost like something you do if it's one game, though. Like, for example, like a Cowboys-Giants regular season game where, like, you know, all you remember is that the Cowboys got the win, but like the Giants played a good game. It's like, oh yeah, that's unfortunate. Like the Super Bowl, that stuff almost goes out the window to me, because it's like they played all year to get to this moment. Like, yeah, there are going to be some things where, like, yeah, there's some stories that get left out of it when you're looking at the box score, but you could go back every single year in the Super Bowl and do that. Like, whether it's, you want to say that about like the Patriots Falcons comeback game, or like the low scoring Super Bowl where the Pats beat the Rams 13-3, like there's something you could stick in it every single year and be like, oh well, there's this, oh well, like the run game carried this guy. And like, it's just so tough to do that. To me, it's like, it's the Super Bowl, and it's like they made it all the way through the regular season, all the way through the playoffs, and regardless of how they won the game, they won the game. Like, I'm not sitting here like, I mean, hey, if people on ESPN are saying it, I don't necessarily agree with it. Like, I would never sit here and say, like, oh, Tom Brady did everything, got him that win. Like, Tom Brady, of course, should have gotten a Super Bowl MVP. Like, he was the most, you know, he was the best guy on the field. Like, no, it's not really like that. But there is some credit to going along the lines of, like, you hear people on ESPN saying it this morning, like, past players. Like, this dude comes to a team and it makes everyone on the team better. It brings a winning pedigree. And I compare that to, like, even if you dislike Brady, I compare that to LeBron in sports. Like, look at the Cavs after he goes and then while he's there. Look at the Heat. Well, I mean, the Heat are a better-run organization. But look at the Lakers after years of turmoil when he comes. Like, these guys that bringing winning with them everywhere, they might not be carrying it on the team the whole way. Like LeBron might not be doing as much in the regular season. Brady might not be carrying the whole offense in the postseason, but having them there as that guy to like kind of right the ship, to be like the leader, whether it's in the locker room, leader of the offense, like that means something. So he wasn't the, you know, best guy on offense maybe, but close to it at least.
That's fine. Let me just say this. The whole thing with them going, and I want to get into this, will lead into this first bell. I'm going to do some quick bells to get through some topics out of the Super Bowl. 2 minutes apiece. But basically, coming off of what you're saying and leading into this first one, it's they're putting him to this, oh, he's the greatest of all time in professional sports. Putting him in with LeBron, MJ. Here's my thing on that, dude. And here's my thing with comparing football to basketball, or never mind an individual sport like golf, and don't forget about Tiger Woods and all these other, Serena Williams in tennis. Here's my thing, bro. He has to win one game. Like, it's Super Bowl's one game, real quick. That game got out of hand so quick because of the referees and because of no time for Pat Mahomes in the first half.
He has to win games to get there.
Yes, and no one's remembering what happened in those games as well. LeBron James has to win series. You have to win series in the MLB. You have to win up against way more people in a golf tournament than just six teams that make an NFL playoff. You have to win in tennis way more rounds, in my opinion, and do more things. So he cannot be compared in a 53-man roster, more team sport, more where the team is expected to do more to win a championship like we just saw out of the Bucks. In a one-game situation where, in my opinion, things in the past too, just like that game, have come up where, look, a guy got a hand so quick, of course they're going to win that game. Bro, it's they get all this stuff built up. It's a one game. You can't compare him. He might be the greatest in football, but don't compare him to LeBron James and Tiger Woods, Serena Williams, Michael Phelps. Don't compare him to any of those people, in my opinion, because he's not those people.
I think that's tough because there's an easy counter argument to that. Like, all the things you said are true, but you can go on the flip side of that. Like, it's so impressive in football because in some of those other sports, it's more individual based, where in football, you have to be the guy to kind of galvanize the whole team, bring the whole team there. It's harder. People could say, and this isn't even my stance, but just to like argue the counterpoint of it, it's harder in, people could say it's harder in football because you can't play a series. It's literally only one game you have to win. You're getting hit out there all game. Like, you can't play a series. Like, you have to go out there and win that one game. You don't get multiple shots. Like, it's 50-50 to me either way. I'm just saying there's arguments each way. And the way you broke it down, that means no one in the NFL could ever be the GOAT ever. So that's like, well, the GOAT athlete because they play in the NFL. It's like, well, I don't think that's necessarily true. Like, Brady's up there. For me, it's as simple as I don't think Brady's the greatest athlete of all time, but it is tough to say who is, because I will admit, I haven't watched a whole lot of anyone who'd be in the consideration for it other than probably LeBron. Because, like, haven't watched a lot of Serena, not a big golf guy, haven't watched a lot of Tiger, and then Michael Jordan a little before our time.
Yeah, so, and here's also my thing, bro. Were we talking GOATs in the 1960s? Were we talking Wilt Chamberlain the GOAT, Bill Russell the GOAT, Larry Bird the GOAT? No, we weren't saying GOAT in any of those times. Never mind all those other players in other professional sports, because there was no such thing as people talking about it like now. And I think it is kind of hyped up because you're seeing a guy right now in real time who has all these accolades winning a Super Bowl. Like, it's like, you always tell me what is it like the fucking what do you say, like, don't let the prisoner of the moment whatever, like, right? And like, dude, like, I'm accepting that he's great, and I'm not trying to diminish his greatness, but what I am trying to say is he is not the only guy that we've ever seen that's fantastic. And I go and look at LeBron James right now and what he's doing right now and can say, hey man, maybe we got the same thing going on. We just didn't get to see him go up against what was considered his counterpart in the conversation. So I don't get it, man.
For me, the GOAT thing, it's going to be different to everyone, but, like, accolades are a huge part of it, and then your individual play and, like, where you rank to your competitors are another big part of it. Where Brady suffers, and for me, probably wouldn't be the GOAT of all, every sports, everything, is because he doesn't have the, and it's tough, it's almost, you could almost say there's an argument on the other side of this, but he doesn't have the, like, athleticism or like the physical capabilities that some of these dudes do to literally just go out there and be like, I'm the best dude. Like, and the counterpoint why I'm stuttering saying this is like, damn, he's still winning and doing all this despite that. Like, the dude's obviously great, but where it's different is like LeBron James, literally team on his back. Michael Jordan, team on his back. It's hard for me to even get into the conversation and get too passionate about it, because then you're right. You get to like golf and like Serena. And
then let's
like,
get out of that.
They're throwing it on their back.
Let's get out of that and get back into this game. And I got a new bell for this. And I'm just asking you straight up, like, do you think the penalties in that Super Bowl, particularly in the first half, and I mentioned the stat on it, do you think it impacted the game? Because all I'm trying to say, and I'm not saying the game's rigged, I'm not saying the NFL is rigged, but what I am saying is, just like I mentioned, now this is not a series. This is a one-game situation, and you're hearing it all over the place. And I heard Skip even say, oh, Brady haters have this as ammunition. No, dude, I'm just talking facts. I'm just spitting facts here, but it just comes across as hate. Do you think those penalties that were called, in some of my opinion, questionable calls, impacted the game? Some are then saying, oh, well, it's not the Saints-Rams situation where, like, it literally impacted the game. But not, in my opinion, the way that that was called, which was way heavier towards the Bucs, called differently than we've seen all year in the playoffs, to me impacted the game. And it's just another Super Bowl that he gets, like I talk about, where we're going to forget that that happened, and we're just going to remember that they won a Super Bowl, and Gronk wins another Super Bowl, and the Bucs and Arians win a Super Bowl, and his 95-year-old mom is there. Like, we're just going to remember that. We're not going to remember how it happened, and that's why I get so frustrated. I'm just asking you straight up.
I mean, you can't say they didn't impact the game. They obviously impacted the game. Even if it's in the first quarter, one penalty doesn't get thrown, maybe the drive keeps going, maybe they score a touchdown, all of a sudden it's a different game. So, like, of course it could have impacted the game, or it did impact the game in some way, maybe in a very small way. Maybe we're watching a different game if they didn't get thrown. So, like, in some way it absolutely impacted the game. It's tough for me to, like, feel bad or give them, like, an out because of that, because it's like, I don't know, the old saying, like, you do business how business is being done. Like, if you and I were playing in a intramural basketball league, like in college or something, and usually they don't call any fouls, and one game you have a dude calling fouls everywhere, it's like, all right, this sucks. I can't play the way I want, but, like, in order to win this game, I'm going to have to change how I'm playing because they're calling it this way. So my take would be, it's shitty. I didn't agree with some of them, and they definitely impacted the game. But, like, don't go out there and be pulling on dudes' jerseys. Don't be out there committing penalties if you know they're calling them. So
that,
like, I don't feel bad for them, but it did change the game.
Yeah. That, and let me just say that I don't think I don't think the Bucks won the game because of the penalties. Like, that's not what I'm trying to say. But I am just questioning why it has to always be like this when it's Tom Brady. I mean, he's there more often than not. We talked about it. But it's just, this always seems to happen with him.
I don't know off the top of my head every year, but I'd say, just from thinking the past, like, five Super Bowls, any blowouts aside, there always or even playoff games, honestly, there always seems to be a play the next day where, like, us as fans or ESPN or everyone's like, that had to be called, that had to be different, they were doing that, they were calling the game this way. And it's like, that's kind of the human element of things. Like, it's tough. I agree, it threw off the game, but it's so hard to pick apart because I feel like it does happen in every NFL game and other sports too, but, like, it just gets picked apart a lot.
That's fine. Agreed. Let's get into this then, because there was some taunting incidents that happened. I wanted to touch on these. Anton Winfield Jr., which, by the way, that was awesome. Like, he got a 15-yard penalty, but that was legendary. That might have been the most legendary 15-yard penalty, because Tyreek Hill's been doing that to dudes. And like he talked about in his statement, he's like, bro, I got backflipped on, and he did that. Like, it was one of the best things that I was able to do that. Shout out Antoine Winfield Jr., even though it was obviously probably a little bit Bush League. But the more interesting one was Tom Brady going back at Tyrann Mathieu. Yeah. Tyrann Mathieu getting into it, him deleting a tweet about it. I don't know what exactly happened. To me, a little bit out of Tom Brady's character. But at the same time, you've seen this with Tom Brady before, not shaking guys' hands after games in which he loses in the Super Bowl, all the things that have gone on with the Eli Manning statements. There's plenty of this with Tom Brady in a competition. So I was just thought it was a little bit interesting how those flags went again, because Chris Jones got one in which he got literally slapped in the face. Nobody called that one first, and then he retaliated. Yeah, they always say it's a second one. But then Tom Brady didn't get any calls for what the guys were doing on the same side of the field
Anton Winfield gets one, but it's already 31-9. It doesn't matter. Like, I don't know. It just seemed like another one of those things where it just didn't seem to be fairly called, even though they were obviously getting into it on the field, which I thought was pretty crazy.
Yeah. I mean, fun to see. You always like to see a little shit talking, especially if the game's not as exciting as it should have been. It makes it a little more... I'm all for it. And, like, in terms of, like, whether people walk off without high fives, it's not just because, like, oh, it's Brady. Like, I'm all for it. Like, nah, fuck that. I think it was Cam Newton in the past has gotten in trouble for, like, walking off and not high-fiving it. People, like, fuck that. We want these suits to hate each other. Like, yeah, I guess you want them to, like, be, like, good game, like, have the PR moment with the cameras there. But, like, at the end of the day, if you have dudes that, like, legit hate each other while competing and are going at each other's throats and are so mad after that they don't want to talk to each other, I feel like that's kind of what you want in sports. Like, you want it to be that competitive. You want it to mean that much to these guys. So I'm all for it, no matter who it is.
Couple more to get into out of this before we get into the NBA. I talked about this with you plenty of times on this pod, Rich. And the biggest thing for me was the breakup, right? Bill Belichick, Tom Brady. And Tom Brady clearly won this breakup. Tom Brady really shut everyone up that was talking like me, of course, about him. And Here's my thing. I saw that the New England Patriots tweeted congratulations to Tom Brady. And yeah, they're a really great high-class organization. But Rich, I'm not trying to put you on the spot here, so I'll just use me as an example.
No, you can go for it.
I'm not going to text or congratulate my ex-girlfriend at her wedding with her new dude. Like, to me, that's what the Patriots are doing here. If I'm a Patriots fan, if I'm Bill Belichick, if I'm New England, I'm livid right now. I'm just as livid as me. Like, what is going on here? Why are these New England Patriots fans, the New England Patriots organization, which has a bunch of questions, by the way, Tom Brady sold his house 18 months ago. You still don't have a quarterback. And now you're going to come out here and pretty much just cheer this man. Yeah, keep it going. Keep going. All right, so you want him to just keep winning? Like, you don't even care about... Like, this is mind-boggling to me. And if Bill Belichick must be kicking shit in at his house, like, I assume. Like, he must be. Because this is not a good look for him. And if he doesn't at least make a run to the Super Bowl, there are going to be a lot of questions surrounding how much of him actually contributed to that Patriots dynasty in which Tom Brady was at the helm of it the entire time.
Yeah, so a few things. Number one, I mean, I get the tweet. I'll compare it to, like, in the NBA when teams give dudes, like, videos when they come back to their home stadium, like a tribute video for a guy. And it's kind of like you're about to play the dude, but, like, you want players to know you're a player-friendly organization and, like, you support the people who do well by you. So, like, are the Patriots... actually, a lot of Patriots fans are happy Tom Brady won. So I compare it to, like, the people running that Twitter account or, like, people that, like, work for the Patriots. Yeah, probably don't mind the Tom Brady one. Yeah, you're right. Bill Belichick and, like, some of the members of the front office probably are not thrilled about it. And my only other thing is, like, I stand by that it is a good look for Tom Brady, obviously, to get to the Super Bowl and win it without Belichick. But I don't think it's a bad look for Belichick yet. I think in a few years it could be bad. I think we all knew going into this year, whether Tom Brady was on the team or not on the team on the Patriots, it was going to be a tough year. Losing him made it even tougher. So I'm not going to come at Belichick for finishing, what, like 7-9, missing the playoffs with a team that was like devoid of talent and lost Brady. If we go 3 more years and Belichick can't right the ship and they're not looking good, like, yeah, that's a really bad look. But as for right now, like, I don't think Brady had a lot of weapons and Belichick had no weapons this year. So I'm not... It's comparing apples to oranges. I'm not going to compare them yet.
Yeah, I'm just so sick to my stomach. Let's get into this before we get into the NBA. The Super Bowl halftime show. I need to touch on this before we get into this because it's always a thing, right? Commercials. I remember being in college. You had to watch Super Bowl commercials and bring it into this class for some takes. And the halftime show, right? Two big things that are always in the Super Bowl. I need to get your comments on the commercials. Indeed had one. I thought it was pretty funny. And then there was a couple other good ones. And then the halftime show, which, by the way, I was tripping balls. And I guess $7 million gets you, A, a lot of friends, and B, gets you a lot of guys or gals wearing diapers on your face. Because to me, that's what it looks like. They're wearing diapers on their face. And yeah, the halftime show was pretty epic. But I'm looking at what it actually was, and I'm kind of tripping during the entire thing. I'm like, all right, I'm about to throw up.
I kind of thought the visuals were kind of cool how they did it. Like, I'm not a huge, I don't know. Like, I don't know many of the Weeknd songs. I guess I knew more than I thought I did, because I realized as he's playing each song, I'm like, oh, yep, know this one, know this one, know this one. But no, it was kind of cool. I'm wondering if it's because there weren't as many fans there, so they didn't have to worry about, like, the show as much for the fans. Because, like, I'd imagine when he was in those tunnels and doing all that trippy stuff, like, the fans couldn't see him at all. They were definitely able to hear him. So I'd imagine it was kind of a unique year with, like, not as many fans there. They just wanted to put on a huge show for the people on TV. Like, fans could not see him in any of those things, I wouldn't think. But I thought it was cool, like, all the dudes, like, in the way, like, him in the funhouse thing. Like, I don't know. I thought it was a... I feel like every year we, like, pick apart the Super Bowl performance. I don't know. I guess there are artists who I would have rather seen, but I thought the display was kind of cool.
So I'm just trying to figure out, though, how did he get down from up top to the field so fast? Like, were you asking the same thing as me? Because I'm like, bro, like, is this dude, like, timed? Like, I was just bugged out. Like, I'm not going to lie. I'm like, bro, like, he's down on the field already from, like, the top row? Like, I'm like, odd right now. Like, bro, I was tripping, bro. Straight up. Like, I'm tripping.
Yeah,
this guy had me tripping.
No idea about that one.
I saw a couple other funny things I need to mention before we switch out of this, which was the Pat Mahomes side throw. Like, he's literally falling down to the ground looking like the dude from Dodgeball. Which, by the way, it hit the dude in the face. There's two drops that got hit in the face, in which those are, like, literally epic plays all time if they catch him, even in a loss. They dropped both of them. Tyreek Hill, and the other one was at the end of the game, in which Pat Mahomes was literally on his parallel to the ground. So I did need to mention those, with the fact that I saw another guy wearing a COVID-19 jersey at the game, and I thought that was pretty wild. Go ahead.
Before we move on too far, fun fact that Lisa just showed me, and I just looked it up after, and it is true. The Weeknd spent millions of his own money for the Super Bowl. So he technically didn't even get paid. Like, he got paid, but he spent more money on the Super Bowl than he got paid. Like, he put a lot of that stuff together, like the visual effects, to make it a sick show.
Yeah, bro, I told you this. I told you this. He spent $7 million of his own money.
Oh, I didn't hear you say that. My bad. It's probably exactly when you
same time. Yeah, bro.
That's insane.
Yeah, bro. That's why it was like, it was just unreal. Like, I'm like, damn, this dude spent $7 million of his own money for this. Like, all right, yeah, it was pretty wild, but, like, there was a lot of dudes there.
If he put that, like, whole display thing together, I mean, that was pretty sick.
Yeah, all right.
My bad. I didn't hear you say that. She was probably saying it at the same time.
All good. Let's just switch into some NBA. I'm kind of done talking about this Brady and fucking NFL talk.
I didn't watch a single second of NBA yesterday. Actually, I watched some Knicks before the Super Bowl. That was it.
All right. Well, that's good, because my headlines go a couple days back, and I'm sure you heard of these. But, yeah, let me get my timer going, and let me just shout out the NFL quick, who did get through their entire season, obviously through the pandemic, and did crown a champion yesterday, the 2021 Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, let's get into some NBA, Rich, and I do need to start with this, and I'm sure you saw this because I chatted you in the group chat when this was going on. I'm watching this, bro, and I'm like, what in the actual fuck is going on right now?
What's that?
Kevin Durant gets scratched from the game five minutes before it starts. All right, he's started 866 career games, wasn't able to start this one due to health and safety protocols. Okay, fine. Like, this dude's been in it before. Here we go again. It seems like nobody can stop Kevin Durant right now besides COVID-19. Here's the thing. He gets to come into the game. So clearly somebody cleared him to play. Like, all right, he's good. He's allowed to play.
Yep.
He plays 19 minutes. He's covered by Pascal Siakam 29 times. A couple other guys, 19 plus times. Saw all the stats on this. Had only 8 points. I think it was first career game he didn't score double digits. Mid-third quarter, 9 minutes to go, he gets told, yo, bro, you got to be out. Like, health and safety protocols. You got to miss Saturday. Oh, wait. Yeah, you're not going to be allowed to come back till Friday. Okay. Like, here's my thing, Rich. The entire Nets squad played on Saturday. No other guys missed for contract tracing. Nobody for the Raptors was put in contract tracing. The dude played 19 minutes in the game. The protocols for the NBA seem to be out of whack. I don't know if you saw these NBA protocols. You are only allowed to watch the game from the confines of your home, the Super Bowl, that is. the confines of your home. I'm like, bro, what is this fucking whack shit with the NBA? I'm like, this is getting out of control because you're going to have it be that serious, but then you're going to let situations like that come up. I don't understand what's going on with the NBA, bro, because I constantly give them credit for being really good when it comes to these things, social justice, all the things going on with the pandemic. Bro, right now they're slipping, and I don't know what is going on with this whole thing with Kevin Durant, but I feel like this whole thing is exactly, and some of these quotes coming out of some of these players after the fact is exactly the issue I see right now with the NBA. And I'm just curious of what you think is going to happen here with, now this happening now to Kevin Durant for the second time, James Harden, Giannis, all these guys, LeBron, De'Aaron Fox, complain about the All-Star game, which, by the way, they shouldn't be having, in my opinion. I've told you this multiple times, and the NBA themselves said they weren't going to have it. So in my opinion also, they're reneging on their deal, in which I think some of these All-Star elite talent players should sit out, and they might not, but they should, because they should want to spend time with their families during this tough time. What is going on with the NBA and their protocols? Why are they having this All-Star game? Seriously. You good?
Uh-oh. You're dead.
Go.
I don't know.
Did
I
you mean, see I this know. Kevin Durant thing, though? Like, what is going on? Like,
yeah. The Kevin Durant thing, I looked at everything about it, like why they did it on the day of. I don't remember all of it right now, but it didn't even make sense at the time. It sounds like the dude doesn't have COVID, got tested multiple times. No test came up positive for it, but someone he was had been in contact with had tested positive for COVID. I just don't get why. It's just so dumb. I mean, I'm not even going to get into it because you said most of it, and I don't have any difference on opinion or anything to add. It's just, yeah, it's really dumb. You either not need to let him go out there at the start of the game or just let him fucking finish the game, because at that point, he's already been in contact with everyone. And you're just making yourself look way more organized. Like, I get it. They fucked up at first and were trying to do the right thing midway through rather than being like, oh, let's hope it's good. Like, I guess you could argue they did the right thing there, but like, they fucked up in the first place by even letting him play. So it's weird. The All-Star game, I know I said on here a few days ago, like, well, if everyone's getting tested, all the superstars go in there, like, they're probably not going to bring it back to their teams. It'll probably be fine, which I agree with still, but all these dudes don't want to play. Like, we've seen some bad All-Star games over the years. Last year was a really good one. I just don't see how you're going to have a good All-Star games with no fans there when your star players don't want to play. Like, I think they're going to – I don't know if the NBA will be forced into it, but I kind of think they're going to force the NBA into, like, not having it.
Yeah.
Like,
What do you expect, though?
How can you possibly –
Bro, they said they weren't going to have it. Now, all of a sudden, they're having it. Like, bro, if I was a player, I'd be just as mad. And I think they're going to force them into that decision as well with some of these comments and stuff you're hearing from some of these players.
The shitty part, though, is this means a lot for some of these guys. Like, and I'm not arguing with it. Like, they said they weren't going to have one. If I were LeBron and these other guys, I'd be pissed, too. But when you're a dude like Zach LaVine, Bradley Beal, some of these dudes who haven't made many All-Star games, having a great season, that adds to your legacy, that gets you paid more because there are parts in your contract about if you make an All-Star game. Like, I don't think they should have it. I think there's more reasons they shouldn't have it than they should have it. But it does suck for some of these guys. And, like, there have been people supportive of wanting to have it. Chris Paul being one of them, even because he's the head of the Players Association that, like, approves this whole thing, which is wild, honestly, with how close Chris Paul and LeBron are, that LeBron seemed like taken back by it, and Chris Paul is kind of publicly supporting it, but it'll be interesting to see if they have it. I think it'll be a mistake by the NBA to have it. It'll be, dude, can you imagine? Aaron Gordon's gave us some good dunk contests and Derek Jones has, but can you imagine with how bad some of the dunk contests have been, a dunk contest with no fans when some of the stars don't even want to do it? Like, you're going to have, like, some random ass dudes out there dunking with no fans. This is going to be, if they have it, the worst dunk contest we've ever seen, I'd imagine. I'll watch it, but it's going to be really bad.
Oh, man. Okay. This whole thing with the NBA right now is honestly getting me even more messed up. And with Brady winning a Super Bowl yesterday, I'm fucking sick to my stomach. Let's just get this last topic out of the way. That'll make me a little bit salty, and then hopefully we'll get into some lighter stuff.
Okay.
I did save this for you because this goes back a couple days. Okay, so that same game we're touching on. James Harden had 17 points. Five shots he took in that game. Five shots. He took two more that literally lost them the game, in my opinion. Here's my thing. He's not. He's taking the back seat. He's the playmaker, right? He's now the leading the assist league in assists. Okay, I didn't expect him to be able to just come in and do that, but yeah, he can dime it. Here's the thing. It's affecting his shot. Like, we know Harden as what? Just rocking 30 points a game. And I said they weren't going to be able to all do that there. Well, here's the thing. He's the one taking the back seat, and then when he's asked to now be a guy to score more or make that shot, he's not making it. Bro, he took two shots that could win that game in which KD was all messed up in against the Raptors. Real tight game. Lost it. Raptors on a three-game win streak, climbing back up in the standings. Next night, had to go be the guy. I will also say, Kyrie took zero shots in that game in the fourth quarter besides the last shot. Really wild. No Kyrie the next night. James Harden's got to be the guy. Bro, they lose by 20 to the Sixers. He has a...
To be fair, that team without Kyrie and KD is gross.
Yes, but he had like 23... Like, he had a triple-double, but like, bro, like, all right, like, you got to be the guy. Take those shots, like, score a little more. Like, he's not doing it. Like, I'm a little concerned with, like, James Harden, this new James Harden that we're seeing, where, like, bro, he's not really trying to, like, do what he used to do, which is score 30 a game. And realistically, he done that 3-4 years in the league straight. So, like, it's just a little bit weird to see for me. And I also think that's going to come back to bite them a little bit, as much as I talked about their defense. Him not really shooting the way we've seen him, which is just step back, drain a three. I've seen him try to take a couple of those in key situations recently for them. Not going so well.
For me, it's tough because, like, I know I've defended James Harden in the past, and I'm not even saying this to defend him, but it's really going to be hard for me to criticize this Nets team unless they just totally implode and, like, get swept in a playoff series until next year. Because, like, I don't think it's going to look great for most of this year. I really don't. Like, I think they'll be good enough on offense to, like, win a playoff series, put together some good playoff games. But, like, I don't think it's going to look good. I think it's really hard to give the three of the highest usage guys in the league on the same team midseason, not a training camp, that are not even practicing. It's literally like these dudes are resting on their off days. Games are just back to back. They're not even practicing.
It is crazy what's going on with that.
Didn't have an off season. Like, these dudes are literally being told, like, and one of KD and Kyrie sits out every other game.
And they want to have an all-star game? That's my whole point though, bro. It's like they're fucking pushing games like 3-4 games a week. It's crazy.
Yeah, they should use that all-star game to, like, let the Grizzlies make up some of their game. Like, the Grizzlies are like, side tangent, the Grizzlies are like 7 games played behind the Lakers. I'd be annoyed if I was LeBron too, because the season's going to end. The Lakers are going to have 2 weeks off while the fucking Grizzlies finish their season and then go into the playoffs. Like, bro, can we, what the fuck? Yeah, like, I'd be annoyed too. That's not even the point of what we're saying here, but the Nets have only played a few games together with their actual stars playing. No practices really. Like, I think it's going to be tough. I think James Harden is doing what he should be doing in the sense of, like, he's going to have to learn to play that role. Like, that's the only way this team's going to work. He's going to need to shoot better while playing that role and maybe shoot a little bit more. But he's going to have to play that facilitator role. He can't be chucking up shots regularly. So, like, I agree with you. In the game without Kyrie and KD, like, yeah, you kind of want James Harden, like, dude, literally shoot 30 times.
Yeah.
The only way.
And what is he doing? He's not shooting 30 times. Like, that's my whole thing. Like, what are you doing?
I think it's the tough thing of, like, when LeBron came to the Heat, like, the huge issue was, like, after – it wasn't until year two where, like, the big – I don't know, ESPN was always reporting it. Like, Dwayne Wade said, like, bro, like, in order for – just give me 1 second. In order for us to win, this has to be your team. Like, you got to be the guy. I'm not saying this has to be Kevin
Durant's
hardest team. That's not it.
Bro.
I'm saying, like, it takes these dudes a year to, like, come together, figure out, all right, this is your role. This is my role. Like, it's going to take a little
bit. I understand that, but can you just hear me out on this? He's talking in his post games about seeding and fucking implications on the playoffs based on wins and losses. And in a game in which Kyrie and Kevin Durant are out, he took like 10 shots. He's fucking dishing it out. He had like 23 points. Like, bro, why aren't you trying to shoot more when your other playmakers are not in the game? You're trying to win the game, aren't you? Like, it's just, to me, his whole style has changed so much where it's like, bro, I don't even recognize the dude. Like, I literally don't. I'm, like, watching Nets games, and he's just like, he's Steve Nash out there.
It's some of, like, what people say about him, what you've said about him, like, getting crushed by the media. Like, he doesn't want to be viewed as that dude, I don't think. He doesn't want it to be viewed as, like, coming to Mike D'Antoni's system in the Nets, and now James Harden's chucking up shots. Like, I agree with you. In order to win that game, that's what he should have been doing. But I think he's trying to play to, like, what his role is going to be on this team, even without those guys there, get teammates involved. Like, I don't think he did the right thing to win that game, but I think that's going to have to be his role. The more I watch this Nets team, I think they're like win one round in the playoffs and then probably done. Like, I don't think it's going to be a great playoffs for them this year. But I think it'll be like a quarter into next year where by the time I expect them to be like full swing. And if they're looking the same then, that's when it's like, all right, you got to blow something up. Someone's at fault here. But I don't think it's going to look magnificent at any point this year.
All right, we'll see. Sliding back over to my side of the table on that take. I did want to get your take on this, though. So I'm going to preface this by telling you, like, we've seen a lot of back-to-backs in the NBA, just in terms of, like, games. But I'm talking strictly here what I'm calling a two-game series in which they play back-to-back against the same team, which we've seen a lot, obviously, trying to cut down travel and reduce whatever going on with the pandemic, which in my opinion hasn't really done much, besides cause a little bit of a controversy here with these two-game series, in my opinion. There's been 39 of them because Luka and Steph just played another one the other night, and Steph had 57 and a loss. Luka ends up coming on top with a 42-point triple-double, I think. But 39 of them, there's been – so they split that one. There's been 21 sweeps, 18 splits. So I'm asking – you, is this interesting in terms of that trend? Like, they're talking about now trying to keep this because they figured it'd be, you know, swung real hard one way or the other. It's a lot closer than you think. The NBA kind of likes the intrigue of a team getting to play that team back to back, and that intrigue that's kind of come into it. I got to admit, like, I was like, oh, damn, the Mavericks just lost a real tough game to the Warriors the other night. Oh, wait, they get to play the Warriors on Saturday again, and then we got that performance. So it goes kind of, as the NBA fan, I'm like, oh, shit, this is kind of cool. We normally don't see this. We've seen back-to-backs in the NBA, but not with the same team. So I'm asking, do you think this is something the NBA keeps going forward? Do you think this is some type of advantage that has caused a little bit more parity in schedule? Obviously, with getting some of these games out of the way and more splits than what I would have expected, the standings really being really tight, and then after this we'll kind of get into the standings, but just in general, like, looking at the standings, looking at how the NBA season is shaked out, I do think this is a interesting topic to touch on quick.
I think they keep doing it going forward. The only downside I see, and it might not even be that much of a downside because I don't think it's happened much so far, and kind of a thing in baseball too, and you can definitely get over it.
Original take going back to when this started, and I thought it would affect it more, like teams having to go to play the Lakers and Clippers back to back four games in a row. Like, damn, you could lose all four of those. It hasn't shaken out that way, but going forward, could it? Would things kind of get back to what, somewhat
normal? I don't know. Maybe.
I think it would be few and far between enough, and you just got to hope the strength of the schedule pans out well. Like, the NBA does the schedules at, I don't know, like a month or two after the other season ends. So, like, they have a good idea of, like, how good each team's going to be when they put out the schedules. So they try and make sure everyone has a decent strength of schedule. Some things change during the season, so that's not always, like, an exact science. But I think for the most part, they would try and make it so you don't have to play, like, three of the better teams in the league over the course of a week, I would think. So as long as they avoid that, I kind of like the idea. And the flip side to that is, like, even if you do have to play all really good teams in a row, like, you see that in baseball sometimes. Like, teams play, like, 9 days in a row against like three of the best teams in the league, and it's like it evens out over time, or like sometimes a team gets screwed by it. But I think it's something that will make scheduling travel a lot better, hopefully make resting not happen as much. So I think the NBA will do it going forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's gonna be just up to obviously the NBA. Is that your cat? That's crazy. I was like, what is that noise? Why are you scratching the table like that? That's love that cat. Thing's crazy cat, huh? All right. Well, the bell didn't go off yet, but I'm checking up the standings, and I wanted to discuss this topic while we're doing it. So I'm sure you're going to love this. I'll restart the bell for it. This is actually wild. So this did go through. I'm sitting here telling you, I'm like, yo, you seeing D-Rose to the Knicks? Well, D-Rose went to the Knicks for a 2021 second rounder and Dennis Smith Jr., who wanted to go to the G League. Maybe he'll get some more NBA playing time, so good for him. But basically, for a bag of Sprite and or a bag of chips and a Sprite, you get Derrick Rose. You're 11-14. You're currently in the eighth slot. A lot higher than I think you would have projected. Something that I kind of projected. You got the Raptors coming back up to life, 10-13. And then you went, I was looking at this the other day. It's going to be interesting to see if any of those teams besides the Pistons can get back up into life into that 10-in play-in game. But you go and look 1-9 in the East right now. That looks like the playoff teams to me. Minus if the Heat or Wizards can come back up into that play-in. That's why I kind of think it's interesting. So just give me your take, because I've been seeing, oh man, oh, well, we should be trading for picks for veterans, not or vice versa. Like, we should be trading our veterans for picks, not picks for veterans. I kind of think this is a good move. Like, this is a reconnect with Thibodeau move, where you're always bitching about Elfrid Payton plays so much. Quickly's been looking nice, but he's more looking like a shooting guard aspect for me. Like, he can play like a beside Derrick Rose. And this is a team that I think could be in the playoff hunt, like in a play-in spot. So why not add Derrick Rose when you go look at the potential roster now with what Julius Randle and RJ Barrett are doing? Derrick Rose could be nice for that mix. And I think your Knicks organization or fan base is kind of being a little bit too harsh on, hey, man, you don't want to win? Like, do you always just want to be shitty and not be in the playoffs? And yeah, I'm not saying you're going to win a championship, but like, you can at least be competitive and like win games and be in the playoffs. You're getting that right now, and you still got Knicks fans complaining. I'm curious on your take on this trade. Go ahead.
I have nothing wrong with what we gave up. Dennis Smith Jr. didn't have a future in New York. His career took a huge downswing the second he came here. He was looking at least better in Dallas. I thought he was going to be at least like a starting caliber point guard for a while. So I have no problem getting rid of Dennis Smith. He had no trade value. Fine. Second round picks rarely hit. Like, yeah, you don't want to just give away picks, but like, that's fine. It's a second round pick. It rarely hits. If they make the playoffs and are even, I know they're not like winning a playoff series. If they make the playoffs, they're going against like the Bucks or something like that. Like, they're not winning a playoff series this year. But if they make the playoffs, have a really competitive end of season, I agree with you. Like, you need to turn the ship around eventually. Like, picks are great. Picks are great. Developing young guys is great. You need to start winning to give your team confidence. It's why tanking is a problem. Like, the Sixers have kind of found their way around it, but some of the teams who bottom out and tank, like the Bulls, the Kings, like the Cavs when LeBron isn't there, like, it's really hard to right the ship and be like, not that the players are tanking, but the players know when the front office is tanking. And it's hard to like say like, oh, winning's okay now, and then later be like, okay, now, or sorry, losing's okay now, but like, now you need to win. Losing's not okay. It's like tough to turn that around.
Agreed.
So I like what Tibbs is doing. I like what Leon Rose is doing. I like bringing in Derrick Rose here. My only hesitation, the only thing I have an issue with, is the Knicks' best quality right now, which is go there, is their defense. I don't love Elfrid Payton. Elfrid Payton is their best perimeter defender on this team. Elfrid Payton is not a great caliber point guard, but is a above average defender, and the Knicks have been one of the slowest paced teams and one of the top, I don't know where they are right now, but at least still top five defensive teams in the league right now. So bringing in Derrick Rose is taking minutes away from one of two people, Elfrid Payton, which if you can keep the defense up is fine. Like, he's not helping you in that many other areas. But if your defense is probably going to take a dip with Derrick Rose in over Elfrid Payton, Derrick Rose is by no means like a defender like that. And my only other issue, my bigger fear is that Emmanuel Quickly has been a stud. I agree with you. He might be a little bit more of a shooting guard, but if you're taking minutes away from Emmanuel Quickly for Derrick Rose, that's going to be tough too. So as long as Derrick Rose has a role in this team and their defense doesn't fall off too much, and
that's
Emmanuel
Knicks
Quickly still playing solid minutes, then great trade. If Emmanuel Quickly goes down to 10 minutes because Derrick Rose is there, I'll be pissed and say it was a bad trade. Because that dude is looking like a future, like he has a future in the NBA on the Knicks. Like, that dude, I want to keep playing.
Yeah, dude, I think he could play alongside Derrick Rose. And I think if Tom Thibodeau doesn't recognize the fact that Quickly's been balling, then he's doing something wrong there too. Like, you got some pieces there. Obi Toppin hasn't really been doing much. He's kind of been hurt. So, like, he's still around in the mix too as well. I think the Knicks are going to make the playoffs, if not the play-in. And I think
everyone's kind of been knocking them a little bit too much. It's got to change at some point. But when I go look at the top four in the East, That looks pretty strong to me. And I go look at the bottom four in the East, and anything can kind of happen, man. But I project those teams to be playoff teams. And then you got to look at the West.
And you've been talking about the Kings. Bro, they're on a four-game. Go ahead.
One sec. Before we move on from the Knicks, the last thing I'll say, and the overall reason why I'm hesitant on the Quickly thing, but the overall reason why I agree with you and think it was a good trade is I don't even know. It'd be nice to make the playoffs. I don't even know if you need to make the playoffs if you're the Knicks. The Knicks have been so bad. We're literally putting together a competitive game or two in the play-in rounds and just showing that the team has promise and is, like, fighting would be considered a win.
You're doing that right now. You've been doing that all season. Bro,
I know, I'm just saying. Like,
you fucking Knicks
like
fans are the worst. Listen,
I like the move. I'm agreeing. That's why it's a good move, because it makes us more competitive this year. We probably won't re-sign D-Rose going forward, but at some point you need to right the ship and like start winning, which it looks like what they're doing. That's why I like the move.
All right, well, let's get into the West a little bit before we get into the last topic, unless you have anything else for the day. Jazz 19-5, your team. I was talking about that a little bit. Lakers 18-6, Clippers 17-8, Suns in there at 13-9-4. So team that I kind of had in the spot. I think those four teams are solidified as what I think will be playoff teams. Gets interesting 5-8, and we're shit on the Kings, but dude, they're on a four-game win streak, and they did have like really bad defense, and they're still playing really bad defense, but De'Aaron Fox is the real deal, and the Kings are winning games. Marvin Bagley's playing. I didn't expect him. Hashan Whiteside's contributing. It's like no one expected that. It's like, bro, I was shitting on Luke Walton to be the first to get fired, and this is kind of leading into the take where let's talk about the West, and I need to get into this real quick on this back end, is I thought Luke Walton would be the first to get fired. I'm seeing now the odds cranked up for Ryan Saunders for the Timberwolves, but I did want to just get your take on potentially who might be the first to get fired after we discuss what's going on in the West with the standings a little bit.
I can't remember if we talked about this on here or over PlayStation chat, but I definitely said something to either you or Chew about those exact two guys, Luke Walton and Saunders.
So I said it was going to be Luke Walton. He's 4-1 updated. Ryan Saunders 2-1. Dwayne Casey 9-4. Scott Brooks 5-2. Steve Clifford 6-1. Mike Budenholzer, which I think is an interesting one, 12-1. If he doesn't do anything, I think he's gone. Terry Stotts been there forever, 16-1. I could see them potentially if they don't make a run, but they're still up there in the standings. And then Rick Carlisle, 33-1. Bro, I'm telling you, the Mavs, and he's been there forever. But like, damn, bro, that's so disappointing. They might be able to turn it around, but that'd be one to hit on for me. I think that might actually happen.
Yeah, I don't think the guys that have the standing relationships, they won't get fired midseason. I don't think. Terry Scott's, Dame loves him, Blazers love him. He's not getting fired midseason. That would be an over the offseason. Same with Mark Cuban and Carlisle. That would be that one would be like a mutually part ways. He would never get fired midseason. That's just off a relationship thing. But I think it's tough. Ryan Saunders might have a chance to stay because he's Flip Saunders' son, who's like beloved in Minnesota. He was the coach during like the KG years and priors. And the Timberwolves have just been, they lost Karl Anthony Towns. Like, don't get me wrong, I don't think they'd be much different, but he's by far their best player. So he has a little bit of excuse as to why they've been so bad. And I'd imagine they're just in tank mode now because they have like the worst record overall. So I think it's got to be Flip Saunders, but I'm just looking through all the other bottom teams here. Yeah, I really don't see who else it would be other than Flip Saunders. I think Budenholzer.
His name's Ryan Saunders, bro.
Saunders is a scout who used to be the coach. Yeah, I think Budenholzer's been an interesting one. I don't think they'd do it. I think they wouldn't have brought him back if they were going to do it. So I don't think he's going anywhere, but I think he's an interesting one.
Okay, so let's get into a couple of these crazy things off the back end. What was the crazier 50-point loss? Jokic had 58-12 loss to the Kings. Steph Curry 57 with the Warriors. Obviously, the Warriors up there and the Nuggets in the playoffs, but both those guys putting up performances like that and losing the game, like, come on, man. Kelly Oubre, you couldn't do anything? Like, what is going on here? I thought that was pretty crazy to see. Did need to mention a couple things here, which I was talking about on my solo spurt the other day and needed to bring you in on quick.
Yep.
So I was hitting on your guy Zion, fastest to score 1,000 points, 44 games. He passed Blake Griffin, who hasn't dunked in 400 days. He hasn't dunked at all this season, but he hasn't dunked in 400 days. He used to be the best dunker of all time. Dude hasn't dunked in 400 days. Zion Williamson just reached 1,000 career points in his 44th career game. He's the fastest to reach the mark since Shaquille O'Neal, passing Blake Griffin, who did so as well, who, by the way, hasn't dunked in 44 games. So I had to give you and Zion a shout-out, who has been doing pretty incredible, but all he's really doing is Blake Griffin-like stuff, dunking the basketball. Also, need to mention this quickly, which I saw Rich and talked about on my solo stint. So, I don't like the Warriors. Obviously, that dynasty and everything that kind of went on with them. But I do think Draymond Green is so underappreciated. That stat line he put up the other day, and then the game prior in which they won, he put up a 2-6, 15 assists, 6 steals, and 4 blocks. The game before, he had 15 steals. Like, Draymond Green is one of the big reason why they had a dynasty. Like the defense and playmaking and all this shit that no one really talks about, taking charges. Like, I know his game hasn't aged well, but he's still out there balling, and the Warriors will make the playoffs, in my opinion, something I was certainly wrong about. They're looking a lot better than I could ever imagine, even without Klay. And them getting Klay back, I'm not saying they're going to be able to make another run, but them talking about doing so will be very interesting with the way Steph's been balling and the way Draymond's been looking. What he was, you add another piece or two, and Wiseman takes a leap. They could be really good, and they might be right back in the conversation yet again. Not really with a dynasty, but potentially contending.
I mean, I was with you on this year. I'm not doing anything after the play injury, but like, and I've been really hard on Wiseman so far. But like, to be fair, the dude hadn't played basketball competitively in over a year, and it's only what, like 20 games into his NBA career. Like, I don't think he's a top two in the rookie of the year, but I think he could have a fine NBA career. I'm not being that hard on him. So like, all you need is that dude to take maybe a little more than a little bit, but like a semi-decent step forward. And yeah, if you have Kelly Oubre playing decent, or Wiggins, I'm sure they trade one of them once Klay's back.
Yeah.
But like, you have a squad that could compete. I agree with you. I think Draymond's was the second most important piece of their kind of dynasty after Steph there. I think he made the best decision of his career. I think it was in 16 when he was a free agent. There was a lot of, I don't know if it was ever serious, but
I'm arguing he might be the first. And I know Steph changed the game, and I know that
reason I say he's not the first is what I was going to say right here. He almost went to Detroit, or maybe he didn't almost go there. There was a lot of talk of him going to Detroit, where he's from. He went to Michigan State in like 2016 or 15. He decided to return to the Warriors. I was saying at the time, like, that will be the biggest mistake ever. You cannot max Draymond Green and bring him in as your franchise.
And speaking of Detroit, what's going on with Blake Griffin? Is he going to dunk a basketball again? I just need to know if you think he is. Like, what is good? Like, can he get traded? Like, I saw this thing on Blake Griffin where he loves Detroit so much, quote, but he flies home to L.A. and shit. All this stuff with L.A.
Yeah, I don't know.
Here's the thing. Is he going to get traded and just be revitalized? Like, what's going on? Like, or is he done? Like, can he not dunk a basketball for the rest of his life? Like, what is going on with him?
I think he can dunk it. I don't know if it's because of the injuries that he doesn't want to, but he's never going to be Blake Griffin again. Like, he doesn't play like that, whether it's a mentality thing or whether it's because he doesn't want to risk getting injured while he's in Detroit because he's trying to get traded. I don't know, but he doesn't play like that. Like, I don't watch a bunch of Pistons games, but from, like, what I've watched, he basically just is a LaMarcus Aldridge right now. Like, literally just, like, they run a little bit of the offense through him. Sometimes he'll bring the ball up the court, but he'll, like, kind of spot up for threes, spot up in maybe deep mid-range sometimes. His contract is up. He has I believe that's a player option for next season, which will pick up because he has a huge contract. So the last year of his contract will be next season, assuming he opts into it. So, like, he could get traded somewhere. Just, like, from what I've seen, it's hard to imagine a team wanting that much, $30+ million on their salary for Blake Griffin going into next year instead of just having the money in the offseason. It's like, I don't think he gets traded for this year, honestly. I could be wrong, but I don't think the team's gonna want him that bad.
I think he's just setting it up to get traded. I don't know what's going on. I swear.
Because
like, there's no way you're just not dunking the basketball if you're Blake Griffin. Like, I don't watch a lot of Pistons, but like, I don't know what's going on. Like, you can't just dunk it. Like, they were at a prop bet, like, oh shit, he can't dunk. Like, you don't think he heard that? Like, bro, just dunk. Just fucking drop. Like, you're an NBA. Like, I don't know. Like, it's just something's going on with Blake Griffin for me. Like, looking to save himself to go make a run somewhere else, and we're going to be like, oh, shit, this is Blake Griffin?
I would also say it's a lot more than this, but that Detroit Pistons team, their GM has said, like, he loves big guys, and they just have mad big guys. Like, they have Mason Plumlee out there most of the game with Blake Griffin, with Jeremy Grant. Like, the lane's just kind of clogged up. He's not as athletic. He's had injuries, probably trying to get traded. I think it's a little bit of everything. Like, he'll dunk again, but I don't think he'll be getting more than, like, 10, 12 dunks a year the way he's been looking so far. Like, he doesn't drive like that.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with that. Raj literally sent me a text.
Tiniest bit of credit to him, because a lot of people said earlier in his career, not that what he's doing right now is phenomenal, but a lot of people said, like, he'd be done, like, because he couldn't shoot, he couldn't handle the ball, like, all he could do was dunk, he'd be done the second he couldn't, like, he's still a decent NBA player that could shoot the ball pretty well, that could set up some offense. Like, he's just on the fucking Pistons. Like, he could help a team out.
Yeah, that's my whole thing with the trade, though. And that's my whole thing with, like, Zion. Like, that's his comparison, realistically, to me. Like, right now, like, young Blake was pretty much what Zion's doing. And he pretty much just surpassed 1,044 games, surpassing Blake Griffin. Like, it sets up for that comparison. Can Zion kind of turn into that? And that's my whole thing.
Not to put you on the spot, but, like, if you have an answer, like, my thing is, like, I can't think of a team right now where it's like, oh, if Zion goes there, like, that puts them up, like, or sorry, Zion. I mean, if Blake goes there, that puts them up to the next level. Like, I guess you could say maybe it'd help going back to the Clippers, maybe. I don't know. But, like, it's hard for me to think of a team that would, like, want to trade for him that he would, like, really, like, turn them into, like, more of a contender than they currently are. I'm sure there are some.
I think there'd be some interesting spots for him to land right now, looking at some of the standings. Like, I look at, like, the Suns. I look at maybe the Hawks with a couple of their injuries on the front court, and, like, them trying to get Clinton Capella with the lobs. Like, Blake Griffin would be a good rim runner there, maybe with Trae Young, two teams that I had in the playoffs. Get into this before you get out of here. Raj hit me up and was like, yo, send me the link. So I don't know, he might be coming in here to shit on me because he knows how much I hate Brady, but he might show up at any time. Who knows? He's kind of like the wind. I texted him back. But before you go, I had to ask you this. Are you thinking about doing a March Madness bracket this year? Obviously, if there is one, you do one.
Yeah.
Okay.
If there is one, I'll for sure do one.
Obviously. So here's my thing. Good luck with that. Bro, did you see that UNC and Duke played on Saturday and UNC won the game? They slimmed the margin. Duke late comeback. I think it was 81-79 or something, whatever it was. But it was their first meeting since 1960 where they were both unranked. 154 meetings. Kentucky lost. They're not making the tournament. Kentucky's not making the tournament. I don't think Duke makes it the tournament. So when you go and look at the bracket and some girl that's never done it before or some dude that's doing it for the charity at work and they just write in Duke and Kentucky and that, you won't be able to do that. You will not be able to do that. Like, it is going to be so hard. You're going to have to watch a little bit of college basketball here. And by the way, this past week, 7 of the top 25 went down to unranked teams. Good luck filling out that bracket. I think this is going to be the hardest one ever, all time, with everything going on, and then a potentially single-sided event. Curious on what you think of that take.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I don't see myself as much different than the random person filling it out this year, because this is the least amount of college basketball I've ever watched. I've watched 2 UConn games, and I haven't watched a single other college basketball
team play once.
So I have watched no college basketball. Oh, shit. What's up, Casper?
I'm so mad right now. I'm so mad right now. Of course, you hit me up with a text to send me a link. You're packing a huge bomb, probably about to go to a golf course because it's like 75 there and we got 2 feet of snow. And yeah, by the way, let me just say something to you because you're one of the biggest guys that's been on me for this. Tell me right now. Tell me right now that the penalties and that the defense did not attribute to them winning that football game. Don't even fucking tell me it didn't. Oh, man, I'm so mad.
Woo!
Oh, my God. This is a Giants fan. This is a fucking Giants fan right here acting like this. Bro, oh, my God. I'm so fucking mad.
I know. It's got to be tough. But I tried to tell you, Zach. I tried.
I will give you that. You did try to tell me.
Who did I tell you to watch out for, too? Devontae White. I'm pretty sure I called him out. I said number 45 on the Bucks. Can't have a day.
Yeah, defense had a day for sure. No.
Guess who had a day?
Yeah, the defense. Yeah. Guess who also had a day? The fucking refs in his back pocket in the first half. Oh, 95. Hey, man, it's the same shit. Hey, and that's the thing. Yo, that's what people... That's why I get
Brady's
so mad.
Not going to get the calls, dude.
Yeah, like, but that's why I get so mad, bro. That's why I get so mad, bro.
20 years, say.
That's why I get so mad, bro. Because it's the same old shit, bro. I'm watching that Super Bowl last night. I could have told you that was going to happen. I'm watching the entire thing.
We've
been
doing it for 20 years. He's going to get the calls, man.
All right, so then here, let me put you on the spot then. Because I didn't think they're going to win at all when he went to the Bucs. They won a Super Bowl. I thought the biggest thing was, hey, man, he's leaving Belichick, the whole breakup here, and how's this going to work out? He's clearly winning that. And you got the Patriots out here fucking cheering on his ex-girlfriend. I don't know what's going on with that. But here's the thing. Is he going to win another one, or are the Pats going to be better before he wins another one? Put you on the spot right here.
All I know is if I'm Gronk, I'm putting a baby in Camille last night.
Oh, my fucking God. You know, I literally fucking hate the fact that we know somebody that dates Gronk. I literally fucking hate the fact that you just said that. I also literally fucking hate the fact that you are not willing to admit that this shit that happens with Brady, not only 20 years, but yesterday, it just happened again. And here's the same thing. Oh, we're calling him the fucking GOAT. Oh, Skip Bayless going nuts on my TV screen because of accolades. Because all this shit. But can we just talk about the game for a second? Can you not tell me that the defense contributed to this run? That the penalties in that game.
No one's ever won a Super Bowl without a defense.
That's
like,
all.
Yeah, he had a good defense.
Oh, they played him. They outplayed him on every part of the field last night.
Unreal.
Yeah.
Unreal. So, like, yeah, it's incredible what Brady's doing. But, like, I've been hearing this whole shit that he's the greatest professional sports athlete of all time. You tell me he's better than Tiger Woods, LeBron James, Michael Jordan, Serena Williams, all these people? No, I'm just not going to go that far. And what he's done has been incredible. He probably is the greatest football player of all time. But I feel like that could be up for debate as well.
If you had asked me what do the Bucks need to do to win the game, it's going to be they need to get pressure with four. They need to get pressure with their four down linemen. And they need to... probably double Tyreek Hill and like play man on the backside, and then sorry. that's the formula. That's how the Giants won two Super Bowls back in the 2010s, and that's exactly how Brady won the Super Bowl last night.
Raj, you're a football guy. Let me ask you something real quick. I need to ask you a serious question. I need you to respond as serious as you can. The going into this game, you and me talked about it a little bit. Anybody thinking of this game knew that the Chiefs offensive lineman was going to be a weakness due to them shuffling around and due to a couple guys being out, whatever the deal was. Bro, they had 5 minimum protection on 92% of snaps yesterday. Why would you not have more people trying to protect Pat Mahomes so he could at least have a little more time to potentially play themselves back into that or win that game? Bro, dude's running for his life. Dude had like 500 yards scrambling. I don't understand why there was not more protection for him with how that was playing out the entire first half. Penalties and all that other shit aside.
I don't think they have the roster for it. You want protection? Who do you want in protection? You want Clyde Edwards-Helaire? Like, that guy's not going to protect. You want fucking Travis Kelce? That guy's not going to protect. I got Gronk up here. I got Travis Kelce way down here. You see how big my head is? There's a big gap. I got Gronk on top. I got Kelce down here.
You're just trying to get those Super Bowl tickets off of Alina. Here's the fucking problem I have.
Me and Camille used to play wiffle ball.
You're such a fuck. The only reason that you're saying that right now is because Gronk went and did what he did yesterday and they win the game. Like, bro, here's the thing. It's the same thing with me for Mahomes. Like, bro, if Mahomes comes back and wins more, I don't think he'll ever be able to surpass Brady now. But I do think that throwing Brady this door closed that he's just the greatest forever is just bullshit to me, bro. It is. I don't want to hear it.
Well, I know. It's tough to hear, but you got to hear it, man.
Yeah,
it's like if you're closing the door if you're closing the door on Mahomes just for this, then you are admitting Brady's the best ever. Because like the window's not closed for him. He's so individually good that he could win a few more and be considered as good as Brady. But if you're saying the door's closed for him just because Brady won again, then like, damn, Brady's gonna be the GOAT forever.
Bro, no, he won against him. Yeah, it's gonna be tough. Yeah, there's no way. There's no way he's gonna pass
this winning percentage in the Super Bowl ever.
What did I tell you exactly like a week ago when we talked, Seggy? I said all 53 guys on that roster are in the Super Bowl because of fucking Tom Brady. And that fucking point was proven absolutely true last night. Every one of those motherfuckers has a ring because of Tom Brady.
It's just such bullshit to me that you're going to tell me that Tom Brady and that team played better because of him. And it's like, if the whole thing that's going on here... Nah, it's just bro, so annoying. It's just so annoying, bro. Like, all of a sudden, these guys could just get better because Brady's there? Like, what the fuck, man? Dude? It's just fucking bullshit. Why don't you show up the year before? Oh, what? Oh, because Jameis is the quarterback? It's
different
just such
thing.
Bullshit,
different
bro.
Deg, put it in basketball terms for someone you don't hate. Why was Mo Williams an all-star when he played with LeBron? Why did Anderson Varejao look good at basketball when he played with LeBron? Because he fucking played with LeBron. Like, it's different when you're playing with great people. Like, because they're playing with Tom Brady. You just hate Tom Brady.
Nah, dude, I'm just so... Tom Brady doesn't play on the fucking defense. Now, all of a sudden, you got the fucking most elite defenders in the fucking league because Tom Brady's on the team?
JPP 8-0 in the playoffs.
So. Yo, wow. Yo, here's the thing. Here's the thing. It makes the Giants' wins up against him so much more impressive. And that I will take to the bank, bro. I'll take that to the bank.
I'm already on that hill. So, like, there's no point in rooting against Brady anymore.
Yeah, but whatever, dude. I don't know. I'm fucking done with this guy.
It was an incredible game. God bless. And Gronk to the moon is all I have to say.
Yeah, dude, I'm glad you could swing by for that. That was honestly fun because I was going
to
hit
you
up for sure.
Back to it.
All right, brother. Much love.
Peace, Raj. Good to see you.
Later.
That was actually hilarious. Because I was going to hit him up and I knew that was going to be what his shit was like. That was actually funny.
I mean, hey, it was good to see. Gronk only had 2 catches in the playoffs prior to last night. I played a bunch of DraftKings. I played a little bit of Gronk, played way more Cameron Brate, and I fucked that one up. Hell of a game by Gronk.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, I'm just fucking so mad right now. It's not even funny. Whatever. Like, okay, fine. Everyone got me, right? Like, nah, that's the thing. Like, bro, I'm not going to back down from this because it's just such bullshit, bro. It's like the same... It's just the same.
Wait, hold on. Back down from what, though?
It's just if I'm talking about Brady not being the greatest, like, I'm shitting on Brady. Like, nah, that's not. That's not. Or if I'm talking about the penalties or the defense or the rushing game or the coaching, I'm shitting on Brady. No, it's not. I'm just wondering why this always has to be Tom Brady is above everyone else, like, literally just so, like, okay, maybe he's just so much better than every other fucking person that has ever played football, but I'm just not gonna fucking believe that, dude. That is just such bullshit, dude.
Do you know why?
Why, Rich? Why? You know
the reason he's better than everyone else is because you don't even have another person to say is better than him, because there's no one to even say right now. It's just like, he's the best. It might change, but right now, in this moment, he is the best. It might change, but there's, like, not even another guy to be like, I mean, there's a hell of a case for Peyton Manning. Like, no, there's not.
Yeah, but here's also my thing, Rich.
If you want to – hold on. The only thing I'll give you is if you want to sit here and tell me, like, Patrick Mahomes this year or last year is more skilled than Tom Brady has ever been, like, okay, that's fine. But the GOAT thing takes into factor, like, winning. And Tom Brady is just so far and away.
That's fine. That's fine. Can we just take into account what has happened for him to do all that winning? That's all I'm asking. And can we just do the same thing with all these other guys as well? Like, let's look at some of these other guys and see, like, what they compare to with Tom Brady. Yeah, maybe it's not even close because of all these accolades. But then let's compare their play. Let's compare their play. Let's put the accolades and shit to the side, because you're basically telling me my whole argument on this is, like, we can't compare him to anyone else based solely on accolades and the shit that I said on Q, well, he couldn't get him without winning. Well, bro, they're winning games because of defense, because of rushing, because like things that I've reiterated to you multiple times.
There's never been a football team to consistently win without a good defense. Like he has a good defense. No one's gonna tell you like, oh, Tom Brady carried his defense. Like, no, he didn't. He's had elite defenses. He's had very good defenses. He's been there's some element of like right place, right time. Like if you would put Tom Brady on the Browns over the last 20 years, like he'd be lucky to have a Super Bowl. Like he's at some right place, right time. He's been on good organizations with good teams, but that's what it takes to be the GOAT. Like you put Tim Duncan on the Bobcats instead of the Spurs. I don't know how great of a career Tim Duncan had. Like there's a lot of right place, right time that comes into it. But at the end of the day, like he played where he played. He had good defenses. Like he got those rings. Like I'm with you that Patrick Mahomes is like probably more skilled. You could say Aaron Rodgers is probably more skilled. Like, oh, if you put them on those teams, maybe they have more rings.
Yeah, but Rich, like, let's get back into this because you said this when Rodgers here, and I needed to get back into this with you. Like, I said this because I think this is a real thing. Like the fact that like Mahomes can go win 4 or 5 more. Like he could win as many or more than Brady. But he lost one to Brady. You're gonna have to win more, right? To be able to surpass him? Like, bro, if he goes and wins 4 and you lost one to Brady, you're still going to have him potentially be able to pass him?
No, because I disagree. You don't have to win more. Because, like, of what I was saying before, like, almost anyone, if you're just unbiasedly watching Patrick Mahomes the last 2-3 years, like, he looks like I didn't watch as much Aaron Rodgers early on. Like, some people say Aaron Rodgers, but he looks like the best quarterback we've ever seen play football just individually. So I think you factor that in. Like, for me, it's not just the accolades. It's not just like, well, you have to get that many Super Bowls to beat Tom Brady. It's like, no, if you're carrying your team, like Tom Brady has 0 regular season MVPs. If you're getting regular season MVPs being the best player in football each year, and you get to like 4 Super Bowls, 5 Super Bowls, like there's a conversation there to me because you are a better individual player and you're very close to the team success. The problem is, we haven't seen anyone nearly as close to the team success that's also as good of an individual player as Tom Brady. But I think it's possible that if you get like, I think that's why it's different. We'll never just, no one will ever be like, this is who the GOAT is. Because to some people it's like 60-40, some people it's 90-10, like how they're comparing those things. Like, I feel like your thing is like, you act like I'm saying it, like it's like 95% accolades, that's why Brady's the GOAT. Like, nah, I'd put it at kind of like a 50-50
yeah, I agree.
Split between accolades in play. So I think Mahomes, if he gets 4 Super Bowls and is sitting there with like 3 MVPs, I probably don't have him as my GOAT yet, but that's the point where I'm sitting there like, yeah, he's probably one away. He's right there, even if he doesn't get to as many Super Bowls as Brady. So it's tough. It's never going to be equal for everyone, but I think Mahomes absolutely has a shot to still be considered the greatest of all time. He's a ways away though. Like, it's very premature to say that, I would think.
Yeah, I agree. It's a preference, and like you said, you got to let it play out more, and you know, we just have to wait and see. But I will say there can only be one GOAT, and I think that's kind of the whole thing that's kind of happened with this whole thing that's kind of gone on now with obviously them matching up and then now Brady winning it.
O of two hurts for sure.
That, and I also think like we've seen what Mahomes has done to get to the Super Bowl. Like, he's had really 2 rough performances in the Super Bowl now. You go look at Pat Mahomes' standard and then how he performed in the Super Bowl. Like, they won last year, but like,
last year, I could be wrong, I don't remember.
Bro, they were down 20-10 heading into the fourth quarter, and he had a 78.5 QBR in that game. I guarantee we had a worse yesterday because they didn't score a touchdown. So, like, he's not had good performances in the Super Bowl, and I think that's going to hurt him as well. Obviously, Brady hasn't had all good performances in the Super Bowl. He's had some, for sure. He's had some incredible ones.
It's tough for me to blame him for yesterday. Not that you just want to completely let him off the hook, but, like, I had, like, a friend from work and his girlfriend was over and was watching with Lisa, and, like, Lisa was saying every time, like, oh, my God, like, what is he doing? Why does he keep running backwards about Patrick?
He has to.
What?
Bro, because he has to. I thought no, I was...
I know him. That's what I'm saying. Like, and I'm like, well, his all...
Bro, I was worried he was going to get hurt.
Yards backwards before throwing the ball almost every time.
I was worried he was going to get hurt, honestly.
Like, it's tough for me to blame him much when, like, every play is like you have 1 second in the pocket and then just run.
Yeah, but you know, that's the thing too, and that's kind of my whole point. No one's going to remember that stuff. They're just going to remember that who won the game, and it's like
but that's
the game played out such a blown out.
Pressure on him. There are 2 sides to it. No one's saying, like, and if anyone is saying this, they're wrong. Like, oh, the Tom Brady's won the game. Like, oh, Tom Brady won the game. Like, no, the defense, and like, the Bucs won the game. all around. Gronk had two touchdowns. AB had a touchdown. Brady had, you know, three touchdowns, no picks, solid game. The defense had an elite game. Like, the Bucs won the game. It wasn't Tom Brady won the game. The Bucs won the game. They played, like, the better team all around. You're not, I feel like I could be wrong.
Yeah, so that's my thing. So that's my thing, though. It's hard to put him in these categories with guys like Michael Jordan, LeBron James, all these other people that I mentioned, when that's the narrative to go into a lot of his victories. Not only... Yeah.
You could do it for any team sport, though. It's impossible for me to compare Tiger Woods and Serena Williams to Tom Brady because, like, they're playing individual sports to a team sport. So, like, Michael Phelps. Like, if you're going to say Michael Phelps or Tiger Woods are better than Tom Brady, like, I can't argue that. I don't know. They play an individual sport. Like, okay, yeah, they've been very good individually. I can't really argue that. But for things like LeBron or Michael Jordan, like, Michael Jordan didn't win a round in the playoffs until he played with an All-NBA player and Scottie Pippen. Like, LeBron James couldn't get it done until he played with other all-stars. Like, it's, I don't know, like, people have similar things. Like, it's tough. If you're going to argue Tiger Woods, Serena, or Michael Phelps, Mike Tyson, like, I don't know. I can't argue against that. Like, they played individual sports. That's too hard to compare.
All right, I'm just going to get you out of here on this, then we'll be done for the day. Then this leads into this question perfectly then. So I just want to know what you think then. Do you think the six Super Bowls that were won in New England have more to do with Tom Brady or Bill Belichick?
As much as I say, I give, like, I don't want to judge Bill Belichick too much off this because he didn't have a great team. It's tough not to say Tom Brady right now because, like, at the end of the day, I feel like even if you feel 50-50, which I kind of have, you have to at least give the extra 1% to the dude going on the field doing it because, like, at the end of the day, you could be the greatest coach in the world. Like, you could, Greg Popovich, you could be in his absolute prime. If you're coaching the fucking Bobcats and you're throwing out guys who can't play, it doesn't matter. Like, the players have to go out there and do it. So yeah. At the end of the day, I'll give the edge to Tom Brady. I don't think the book's closed on that. Like, if Bill Belichick starts making some runs with some teams, like, get some guys together, yeah, it could absolutely be Belichick. But I think right now I got to give the edge to Brady.
Are you worried about that, though? Like, are you worried about the Patriots being able to turn it around?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, Bill Belichick hasn't – I don't know the whole history of it. Obviously, they got Brady there, but, like, he hasn't been the best at GMing and drafting over the last few years. And, like, at the end of the day, we're talking about his coaching, but – he is the GM, and in order for him to be a good coach, he's got to get a good roster on that team. And he hasn't been great in the draft over the last few years. Like, we've talked about it before, missing out on a bunch of guys. I don't know, blanking on the names right now, but missing out on a bunch of guys there. So, I'm worried about them being competitive. I hope they turn around. I'd like to see them, like, not that I feel like, oh, God, the poor Patriots, they had a down year. I don't need to see them winning Super Bowls, but I'd like to see Belichick turn them around and get them to be, like, a competitive team. And I think they will, though. Like, they had a terrible roster this year. Cam Newton coming in off a tough last few years, and they went, I think, 7-9 it was. So I think he'll turn it around if they could at least get some more pieces on that team.
Yeah. All right, brother.
Enjoy, man.
Enjoy your day off. We'll catch up
tonight. Probably talk to you on the sticks in a little bit. I'm off for the day, so I'll let you know if I hop on.
Yeah, enjoy your day off. I'll catch up with you. I'm around.
Yes, sir. All right. Peace, man.
All right. See you, brother. Richie. Oh, man. Raj got me pretty good. That was pretty funny. Yeah. I mean, I expect that. Chu, hopefully, will come back around. I expected a little bit from him. We'll have to get into the breaking news on Pedro Gomez, who suddenly passed away Sunday at the age of 58. That was incredibly shocking and saddening news to see if you're a fan of baseball. He was an elite journalist, high-level professional accomplishments, and just a great person all around. Like, Pedro Gomez definitely provided some good sports memories for me as a sports fan, so that was sad news to see. Thoughts and prayers to him and his family. Looking forward to hearing from Chu what he had to get into it. I saw a post that I've been trying to live more and more by, and then seeing the post made me pretty happy, where the quote in the caption was, "Worry about your character, not your reputation. Your character is who you are. Your reputation is who people think you are." I thought that was incredible to see. Put a little bit of a limelight for me with everything going on, and then with everything going on in sports, don't always hold up on your end of the bargain. But if you got passion and you believe in something, you just got to continue to pursue it and work on it and get better at it. And that's what I feel like I've been trying to do here, talking sports with a couple of my friends. Some of my takes don't always pan out, but I've learned that if you're having fun doing what you're doing, then you should continue to do that. And I'm having fun doing this, even though there's been a lot of heartache in terms of my takes. Not as bad as Nick Wright, though, who went 0-11 yesterday in terms of bets. Was watching. Lost a lot of money. Bought a red blazer to wear on the show for Monday, and that didn't turn out as well. So, could be worse. I'm not out here gambling away against Brady. I'm not that stupid, because I think most of us could have expected him to win. And, so, that was good. Much love, Raj, popping through, giving me a little bit of heat. Rich Hot Takes Letty coming through, talking some of the Super Bowl and NBA headlines with me. A lot of news in the QB carousel with Carson Wentz potentially be getting traded in the upcoming days. Drew Brees restructuring his contract. Hearing on potentially what's going on with Big Ben. And Dallas most likely placing the franchise tag on Dak Prescott. A lot to get into in that regard next time I come around. Appreciate all love and support shown for the podcast. If I'm people listening, I will be doing my solo stints primarily only on my Twitch from now on. So if you're interested in catching those sports takes and joining in on the conversation, you can catch me there. It's _Seggy_G, where I'll be doing solo Seggy. But until next time, when I come back to the pod, get a couple boys or some people around. We'll be in here talking some more sports. That's all I had for the airwaves today. Appreciate all listening, as always. And as always, I still have no shame what I had to say. Just a man with a nickname. Till next time, everybody. Peace and love. Stay safe out there. Tough day for me. But shout out to Tom Brady. Seggy Station.